Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
A reoccurring theme in his life was the fact that Joseph was a man of faith. He lived with the focus of his life being trained on the promise and the God of the promise. He kept his faith locked on God, and because his faith stayed on God, God was with Joseph.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Absolutely thrilled at the prospect of what God may do today as we meet together with Him at the point of His Word. Welcome to Truth Infusion. This is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and I am your humble host for the next few minutes. My name is David, and I thank you for the opportunity to spend some time with you. If you were here with us last week, we began a new look at faith through a new teaching series that I've entitled Faith in a Box Full of Bones, which I have to say I think is about the coolest sermon title or teaching title that I've ever heard. And I cannot claim that I came up with it. And so I did this a little bit last week, but let me give credit where credit is due. I recall being a young man, not even young man, a young child, when my father preached a sermon one Sunday morning that he entitled Faith in a Box Full of Bones. And as a young guy, I just thought that just for some reason just caught my attention. And I recall it being a very powerful sermon. I don't remember what he talked about. Some of it is obvious just in the title and the some of the scriptures that go along with this. I know that he must have spent some time talking about Joseph and faith and the few verses through the Word that actually bring out the bones of Joseph. If you've not heard any of those, then welcome to a teaching series where we're going to talk about it a little bit, so you're going to get a chance to hear about that. But, Dad, I stole your sermon title. I didn't steal your sermon because God's given me all of this here recently, and I don't remember exactly what you preached about. But the sermon title went right along with what I was talking about. So here we are again with my version, or my rendition, if you will, what the Lord's given me under the same heading, Faith in a Box Full of Bones. And I explained last week, as we just did kind of an introductory week on this, that we're going to be talking about faith. We're going to be talking about faith through the glasses, if you will, of Joseph. Now, we're talking about Joseph in the Old Testament, and if you go read the last several chapters, the book of Genesis, they are about the life of Joseph. Just a couple of tidbits on him as we get started this week. Joseph is a type of Christ. There are some people through the Word that are typical, that are foreshadowing of Jesus and what his life would be and what his mission would accomplish. Joseph is one of those. We have some of that in the life of Moses and the life of David. But Joseph is one of my favorite types of Christ in the Bible. He is, as far as mainline persons or characters in the Word, one of the reasons that he is a type of Christ is because you can read all the chapters, and there's a lot of information about Joseph's life, but one of the things you will not find is any record of a particular sin that Joseph committed. Now, I'm not saying that Joseph never sinned. Obviously, he's a man just like you and I, and Christ is the only one that was ever born without a sin nature. Therefore, Christ was able to live a sinless life. Joseph was born with a sin nature, and Joseph did have sin in his life. But because God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Moses wrote Genesis, the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to write it in such a way that none of the sins that Joseph committed were recorded through those chapters in Genesis. And it is just sets him up because of that to be a type of Christ, because Christ was sinless. And there are other parallels we can draw between the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. But just some interesting facts about him. What a very interesting man he was. Amazing story. It's his life is one of those that you just make a movie about. It's so interesting. It's so detailed. And the ups and the downs and the struggles and the wilderness times of his life as he was sold into slavery and by his own brothers and sent into Egypt and pulled away from his father. And we see the life of Jacob in the end of his days, most of that time spent grieving over the loss of Joseph. Then the reuniting of Jacob and Joseph and the family there at the end of Jacob's life as they're brought out of famine and into Egypt, where Joseph is now second in command. Only Pharaoh is more powerful than Joseph now in the entirety of the world, really, because Egypt was the dominant power of the world, the empire that dominated the world of that day. And Joseph is second in command under Pharaoh. He's not even an Egyptian, guys. But what I told you last week over and over was this. No matter what Joseph went through, ups, downs, hell on earth, he spent some times in some very difficult times of life for years at a time. He did not have a storybook life in that it was perfect and seamless and rich and healthy and pretty his whole life. No, he went through struggle, guys, hardships. He was in prison for years and years for something he did not even do. But I told you this last week over and over, a reoccurring theme in his life was the fact that Joseph was a man of faith. He lived with the focus of his life being trained on the promise and the God of the promise. He kept his faith locked on God. And because his faith stayed on God, God was with Joseph. And that is a phrase that you read over and over in his life. But God was with Joseph, and the blessing of God was with Joseph, and the favor of God was upon Joseph. And even at the end of his days, Joseph did not consider himself an Egyptian or of Egypt or by Egypt. Joseph considered himself a Hebrew of the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He considered himself a son of the promise. And his faith was on the promise that God had made to his people. And because of that, we read in the very end of Joseph's life, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, as the family and the loved ones of Joseph gathered around his deathbed, he's an old man and he's fading fast. And this verse in chapter 50 says this, "Then Joseph took an oath," in other words, made them promise him. He said, "I want you guys to promise me something." It says, "Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones up from here.'" Now, what was that all about? I explained it at the end of last week's show. And so you might need to go back and listen to get the full, I'm just trying to summarize here, to get the full extent of it. But basically was this. The climax of Joseph's life was spent in Egypt. The mission of Joseph was that God was going to set him up in Egypt through a series of events so that he could, in effect, save the world from famine, save Egypt, but ultimately save his own people as Jacob and his brothers were brought out of Canaan. They were dying from famine there, but all of his family, his extended family, and the livestock and the kids and the grandkids and the cousins and everybody was brought out of Canaan because Joseph was given favor by God and placed in that position in Egypt. He was able to bring them into Egypt, and Pharaoh had favor on the family of Joseph. Joseph, on God's chosen people, on the Hebrew people. You see, God saved them and in effect maintained the promise from dying by hunger and famine in Canaan when he brought them into Egypt under the blessing that he gave through Joseph to put them into the land of Goshen there in Egypt so that they might be cared for and comforted and brought through these years of famine. The promise was held up, maintained, and saved through Joseph in Egypt by God blessing them through Pharaoh because God was with Joseph. But even though the climax and the highlights of Joseph's life, the highlight reel, if you will, of Joseph's life would have been in an Egyptian setting, Joseph did not consider himself an Egyptian. And so when his family and loved ones gathered around his bed, Joseph was a man of faith with the vision of a man of faith. And he looked at them and he said, look, guys, we're not Egyptians. God's not going to leave us here. God promised Abraham Canaan. God promised Abraham an inheritance and a people that would outnumber the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. And Joseph wanted his family to know, God didn't promise us Egypt. God promised us Canaan. And he's not going to leave us here. Now, Joseph didn't know when nor how that was going to take place, but he had the vision of faith to say, God is going to visit you. Where? Here in Egypt. There's coming a day when God will visit you and he's going to take us out of this place. And when he does, promise me you will carry my bones up from here. And I referred to Hebrews 11, verse 22, as the writer of Hebrews referred to that and referred to the faith of Joseph in verse 22 by saying this, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. And that's why we're going to take a look at the faith of Joseph as it ultimately is manifested by what happened to his bones. And that's where the box full of bones comes in. And I ended last week saying this, the story of Joseph could have ended, easily ended at the bottom of a dry well if it were not for his faith. If it were not for his faith. It could have ended in a dark, dank prison in Egypt if it were not for his faith. Could have ended a number of ways, but Joseph kept his faith on God, and God was with Joseph. Okay, with that being said, we're going to get into a little bit more of this teaching today as we take a look at the fact that faith gives us correct identity. Faith gives us correct identity. But let's go ahead and pray, ask the Lord to bless that, and then we'll spend a few minutes looking at Joseph and his faith. My Lord and my God, I know you've got some things to say today. God, I know you have some people to reach out to, ones that I will never see and know. Lord, you know where they are all around this world. I pray for them right now. I lift them up to you, Lord. You and you alone know what they need. And you know how to give it to them. So, Father, I ask that you would anoint me to speak your word. Would you send the Holy Spirit into this studio right now? Send the one that makes teaching your word so easy. And, God, I pray that you would have your word go out in these next few minutes to accomplish your purpose for the people that you choose. Lord, we ask that it would be so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Faith gives us correct identity. You remember when you were young, and if you're like me, you you probably did this not too long ago. You remember ever saying, you are what you eat. It's a common saying, but if you don't live in America, maybe you don't know that. We have listeners that don't live in America. So you are what you eat means this. If you eat healthy food, you are healthy. If you eat junk food, your health and your life will represent that. You are what you eat. I remember when our daughter Reagan was little and she was coming off of milk and she was beginning to eat the cereal and the baby food. The girl loved carrots and sweet potatoes and squash and the foods that were orange and a darker yellow. And I remember there was a time when she almost turned her skin almost turned an orangey yellowish color. So we took her to the doctor. We said, "Oh my gosh, she's turning colors, doc." And he said, "You feeding her a lot of orange foods, carrots and squash and things like that?" Said, "Yeah, she loves it." He said, "That's it. She's just getting a hold of that," and it's kind of said, "Don't worry about it. Hey, she'll be fine. Give her some of this and some of that, and she'll be fine." You know what? You are what you eat. Here's another saying that we used to, especially when we were kids, we say that. What you say is what you are. So if someone was calling names and they were picking on you, you'd turn around and you just squinch up your nose and you say, "What you say is what you are." And that was just throwing it right back in their face, wasn't it? If you call me bad names, that's what you are. You're bad. And I remember that that was very true. Let me give a more mature and spiritual look at the same kind of statement, but I want to say it like this. Whatever you identify with will soon become your identity. Here it is again. Whatever you identify with will soon become your identity. I believe this is true in everyday life. I believe this is true scripturally, because what we see in the life of Joseph is that he did not identify himself with Egypt. Now, how easy would it have been for Joseph, who especially once he got to a place where he was past the prison phase of his life and on into this time of high favor, recognized by Pharaoh himself as someone very valuable to the ongoings and to the livelihood of Egypt itself, placed in a position of high honor and power, looked at and identified by the people of Egypt as someone of great power and prestige. How easy would it have been for Joseph, with all of that being true about what he was in his Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday life, how easy would it have been for Joseph to begin to identify himself with Egypt? I mean, he did not any longer dress like a prisoner. He did not any longer dress like a Hebrew. That was years ago. Even if he had those old clothes, they would have been worn out. He couldn't have worn them anymore if he wanted to. He dressed like an Egyptian. He was living in that culture. He probably must have picked up some of the dialect and the language of Egypt. He spoke like an Egyptian. But here's what I want you to know. As far as what kind of person and what kind of belief system Joseph had and lived by, he did not identify his person, what he was made up of on the inside, the stuff that mattered, the stuff that counts, the heart stuff, the soul stuff. He never allowed himself to be identified with Egypt. He stayed true to the God of the Hebrews, to the God of his fathers, to the one and only living God, and had many opportunities, Joseph did, to reject that, to forsake that, and to follow the ways of the Egyptians. But Joseph did not identify himself with Egypt. What about this? Joseph did not identify himself with what others thought of him. Now, we know the old phrase says that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Joseph, apart from Pharaoh himself, answered to no one in Egypt. What he said became law. If he pointed and said, "Go do it," they did it. If he pointed and said, "Bring it to me," he got it. Everything Joseph wanted, he got, because Joseph was given a place of power, and what the others thought of him could have easily gone to his head. He could have so easily become power-crazed and sick with it. But Joseph did not identify himself with what others thought of him. Joseph stayed true to what God thought of him. So this statement is very true with Joseph. What you identify with will soon become your identity. And Joseph identified himself on a day to day to day to month to year basis, not with Egypt and the things of Egypt, but with the promise. Joseph identified himself with what he had been taught about God and the things of God and the promise of God as a young child. Ultimately, the promise of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph was Jesus. He is the promise. And when Abraham placed his faith in the promise, the Bible says he was justified by his faith. He placed his faith in the fact that God had made a promise to Abraham that there was one that was coming that would be a deliverer. It's actually a promise that he gave to Adam and Eve way back in the garden. But the promise of Abraham that he looked forward to saved his soul through justification in the promise. And Joseph had placed his faith in the promised one. He didn't understand who Jesus was going to be or how it was going to happen. He didn't know anything about a cross. But he looked forward to the promise and believed in the promise that God had made to Abraham. And Joseph identified himself with the promise of the Hebrew. Therefore, Joseph's identity was that of a man of faith in God. Now, let's apply that for a few minutes to us. What you identify with, Truth Seeker, in your day-to-day life will become your identity. Now, I'm not in front of this mic right here questioning your love for the Lord, and I'm not talking about what you do for an hour and a half on Sunday morning, because there are a lot of Christians that are in church on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, and they give God, you know, that 10:30 to 11:30, 10:30 to 12 o'clock block of time on Sundays. But if you were to catch up with them on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, Friday, don't go look for them on Friday night or Saturday night, because then you're going to see them identifying themselves with something that does not look very godly at all. So let's take a minute to look and examine exactly what it is that we're identifying ourselves with throughout the week. Christian, are you identifying yourself with the things of God when the church folks aren't looking? Because the thing that you identify yourself with throughout the week, sooner or later, will become the identity of your life. I have a friend of mine, and I want to, without saying his name, just kind of give a bit of testimony about a certain part of his life. This brother came to the Lord in jail. One of my good friends was doing some prison in jail ministry at that time, and was able to lead him to the Lord. He was then able to be discipled by a strong man of God while he was incarcerated, came out, finally was released, and was able to come and be around many of us in the Truth Infusion team. We spent a lot of time with him. But you know what happened with him was something that happens to a lot of people. They start strong. They begin strong, well-meaning, loving the Lord, wanting to do the right thing. But sooner or later, they just, you know, they're not around as much as they used to be. But every now and then they show back up and we have a good time together, fellowshipping, spending the time with the Lord, maybe in a church service or at a revival event or what have you. I took this guy with me on a couple of road trips for Truth Infusion as we went ministering to different places. And just he was spending some time with the Lord, but came to a place where we just began seeing less and less of him. And then through a co-minister friend of mine, began to find out that he was spending some time around some people that, you know, he shouldn't have been around, that didn't know the Lord, that weren't living a life for the Lord. Now he would have said, you know, I'm spending some time with them. We're just friends. You know, I'm hanging out with them, but I'm not doing the stuff that they're doing. You know, I'm not going with them to the club. I'm not going with them to the bar. I'm not going and doing that. I'm just spending time with them, hanging out at the house. Well, before long, we weren't seeing him anymore at all. Completely gone. And began to get word through people, through his grandmother and others that loved him and knew that we loved him, that he was, in fact, in the bars now. But he wasn't drinking, right? He was just there. Now, he could go and he could spend time with his friends. He didn't have to drink. He didn't have to go back to the things that put him in jail to begin with. Now, he was just there. But the more time he spent there, it turned out that he did pick up a drink or two. And before long, he was smoking a joint of marijuana just now and then. And you see, there came a time one night as he was hanging out with these people at a particular car wash at a time of night he never should have been there, that he got picked up with them when the police dropped by. You see, he began to identify himself with the wrong thing, and eventually it became his identity again, and he wound up in the last place he ever thought he would have ended up when he came out of jail. Without properly placed faith, you will eventually experience a change of identity. But it doesn't have to happen that way, because when our faith is locked on Christ, in Christ, and our identity is found in Christ with the things of God, among the people of God, doing the will of God, then our identity will be correct. You see, faith gives us our identity. Whatever your faith is on will eventually identify you with that which your faith is locked on. What is your faith on today, Truth Seeker? Is it on God, on the things of God, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Are you leaving your faith locked on the person of Christ? If so, then your identity will be found in Christ, and you will have the things of Christ being manifested in your life. But if it's not, without properly placed faith, your identity will soon change, and you will reap the benefits or the consequences of the identity that you have found yourself to be. Faith gives us that identity. Joseph teaches us that. Come back next week, then. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.